what we've been doing is that we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes. And so what we'll do is that we will take the time to study this book. We've finished 8 chapters. And then now we're going on to chapter 9. And then along the way, we will take a bit of time to discuss things. And we'll see how it goes. Then you, along the way, if people want to raise questions, they can just raise questions. Okay, well, we're going to pray, and then let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can study your word once again. We pray, dear Lord, that you will lead us and guide us. And we pray, dear Father, that it can be an enlightening time, a time of discovering who you are and what does it mean to have you in our lives as we learn how to work in this world. We pray, dear Father, that the wisdom that we gain can be applied daily in our life. We ask for your blessing. Be with those who are not well. Pray that you especially watch over each one. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so one of the things that we're going to try to do is that as we look at the life and the writings of Solomon, one of the issues is that we are not going to read everything as truth. Because some of the things that he wrote is actually not true. It is his reflection about life, it's his observation, and some of the observations are not totally true. Okay? So you will find that as we... So that was something that we all had to struggle with initially when we studied this book. That not everything is the gospel truth. It's not what he wrote is applicable in life. Okay? So that's something that we want to begin with. And then along the way, we study this book. Okay, anyway, Happy New Year. Hope the year has started on a good note. Now, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 9. And we read, for I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. And so we begin first with a good observation. Now, there are, along the way, sometimes, most of the time, we will see Solomon making good observations. So this is one of them, okay? He has considered this. He has thought through this carefully. He has thought through, you know, deeply within his heart. And now he is confident in declaring it, in writing, in teaching, in preaching this. And this is what he says, that the works of the righteous and the wise, their works are in the hand of God. Okay, so this is a good observation that our lives, all that we are, the things we do, our works, if we have faith and if we work hard, we will see the hand of God blessing that work. The Lord's hand will be involved. Hi, come. The Lord's hand will be involved. And when the Lord's hand is involved, you can see that work prosper. Okay? And so we can see the righteous and the wise. They are disciplined. They are diligent. They work hard. And as they do these things, we can see the hand of the Lord involved. Okay? Now, the hand of the Lord is something that we see throughout the book, you know, in the Bible. So how do we understand the hand of the Lord? When we talk about the hand of the Lord, what does it entail? Right? Okay, let's define it. When you think about the hand of God, what do you think of? Let's begin with that. The hand of the Lord means what? What does it mean? Hand of the Lord. I mean, we come across this phrase quite a bit, right? Hand of the Lord. Does God have hands? I mean, in reality, does God have hands? He can touch you. He can wake you up in the middle of the night. Does God have hands? Yes? No? I have not seen nor ear heard. Well, okay. But does God have hands or not? Literally. So, okay. Let's get it right. Do you believe God has hands or not? Huh? Okay, better get this right. How many of you raise your hand? How many of you feel that God has hands? Raise your hand. Come on, be brave. If you're wrong, you're wrong. How many of you feel that God has no hands? Bethany, what do you think? Okay, if he wants to have, he will have. Okay, in reality, God is spirit. Okay, in other words, he's invisible, he's spirit, he has no literal hands. Do you follow? The eyes of God look upon us. So these are all things that God writes upon, in the Bible, so that we can understand Him. We can understand because we have hands, we have legs, we have mind, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, right? In reality, there is... So the hand of God is for us to be able to understand that God does certain things in a way that humanly, we can understand. You follow? Okay? The heart of God. Is there a heart of God? Right? No, there's no... Well, God still has a heart, right? He loves us. That's the idea there. So the same thing with the hand of God. So what does the hand of God represent? Generally, what does it represent? What does it represent? The hand of God. Anybody. Okay, hand is for what? Okay, let's think of the hand. Hand is for? When you were young, your mother, your father will hold your hand too. Hit you to discipline you. What? What's the hand for? To lead you. Right. Absolutely. To lead you. Right. So one of the ways when we look at the hand, okay, let's turn to Psalm 139. This is just a general understanding of the idea of God. Okay. Psalm 139. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. When I was in Brunei, and I was in this place that was... I used to be a pilot in the Air Force, and we used to have detachments in Brunei. In the middle of the jungle, we will fly the aircraft. Sometimes we have to harbor in the jungle. And this was one of the verses that I was very encouraged by. And in Psalm 139 and in verse 10, it says... Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Okay, so one, the Lord, the hand can lead. Two, the hand can hold. That the Lord holds on to us, right? The Lord holds our hand. In Isaiah, we read of how the Lord upholds us. Okay, let's turn to 41 verse 10. It's just for general understanding before we deal with the passage. So in 41 and in verse 10, we read, "Fear not, for I'm with you, be not dismayed. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Okay, right hand is always the hand of power. And God will uphold you through all the challenges of life. Verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand." And this is called spiritual hand-holding, right? Does God hold our hand through life? Yes. Even the Lord Jesus, the Lord hand, the Lord is there to hold his hand through all the things. Is the aircon affecting you? We can turn it down. If you want to, KB, can you just turn it down? I put it on high because I wanted to cool the place. Turn as in the blower. Make it lower. Are you very cold? You okay, ah? Okay, you look like you're shivering. Okay. And so this idea of hand-holding is a wonderful concept. Even the Lord Jesus, we see also the Lord holding his hand. Isaiah 42, verse 6. "I, the Lord, have called you," you, capital, referring to the Lord Jesus in righteousness, "will hold your hand." Right? So the Lord Jesus, the Lord held his hand through all that he needed to go through. Right? So that's called spiritual hand holding. The Lord holds our hand, the Lord leads us, the Lord protects us. There's a hand of protection too. Okay, let me just name a few. That's Exodus 15, verse 9. You can take a look at it. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, a hand of deliverance. Okay, and the hand of judgment. Okay, there's also one where we talk about judgment. And this is just examples of this idea. And of course, the hand of blessing. All expressions of the hand of God. Can you see? It's a very rich, beautiful idea. The hand of God is there to lead, to guide, to hold you, to uphold you, to be there with you in every circumstances of life. Right? And he's there to also bless you. Okay? Which we want to focus on today. The hand of God. The righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. In other words, we are in the hands of God. Right? If we walk righteously, if we live righteously, if we have faith in Him, if we follow His wise sayings and we are guided by it, the Lord will uphold us. He will be there with us. Right? And to me, that is a wonderful thing to begin with. And that is his observation. Okay, any questions you want to ask? The hand of God. Okay, you're clear. There's no physical hand, okay? Just to be very clear. Sil, you look a bit. Ask all the questions. Yeah, of course. Yes, yeah. It depends on the situation, right? That's why the writers will emphasize certain things. Later on, I'll show you from the book of Ezra, the good hand of the Lord, right? The righteous hand of God. So it depends on the situation. It depends on how God is involved, right? How he applies his hand. It's for us to be able to understand because it's very, very vivid for us. You know, hand-holding is so much a part of our lives when we were young, when we were children. Even today, I mean, when my grandma or my mom, when they were still alive, I would still hold their hand. Right? And we will lead them, we will guide them. Children, we will lead them half the time. Hand-holding is very much a part of our life, isn't it? We use our hands all the time, right? The Indian pastors, when they first came, when I was crossing the road, Bhaskaran held my hand crossing the road. First time an Indian man hold my hand. I was shocked. But it's a way of life to them, right? So it's very vivid. It's a very powerful idea for us to focus on. Yeah, is that it? I mean, God is involved in many, many different ways. Yes, it is. It is God's involvement, but it is specifically in a certain way when we can understand about God holding something. God's hand being involved to lead, to guide. The image has to be with reference to the hand. Because involvement is, it can be anything, right? Yes, of course, definitely. There is that close involvement, right? Yeah. Sure, of course. There's a closeness of involvement. There is that, you know, love that is there. Okay, let's take a look at this one. In Isaiah 42 and in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. Right? 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. Right, so the upholding goes together with the delighting. Can you see? Okay, any other questions you want to ask? Okay, now let's go back to Ecclesiastes 9. I mean, it's just for a general understanding for us to look at this idea of the hand of God. Now, in Ecclesiastes 9, we read in the next part, people know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. Okay, what does that mean? And so this is Solomon's observation. Their works are in the hands of God. God is involved, prospering the work of their hands. And then we see this part. People do not know whether it is love or hatred, right? By anything they see before them. Okay, what does that mean? The way he writes very, you know, it's a bit nebulous, a bit hard to fully understand. So what do you think he means? No, neither love nor hatred. No, neither love before them. What do you think it means? Okay, let's just say before them is the future, right? Let's define that as the future. And what he's trying to say, basically, is that the future is unknown. The future is unknown. People do not know what's in store for them. Whether there is love or whether there's hatred that awaits them. The future, in other words, is in the hand of God. Right? And so as we enter into 2026, what does the future hold? And I think it's important for us to look forward to the future. And one of the things that we want to look for is the hand of God in your life. Can we trust the hand of God? Can we see the hand of God? Me, that's very important. Is there going to be hatred? You know, is there going to be love? We don't, right? The future is unknown. But that's something that we want to really, really think about. And I think that's sometimes scares us, isn't it? What the future holds. How will things work out? There be hatred, or will there be love? We don't. Okay? And so it is something where we got to be able to see the hand of God there. Can we see the hand of God in the future? That is also a challenge. Okay? Now, let me go on a bit and then you can raise questions along the way. Now, let's go on to the next part where we read in verse 2. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner, he who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. Now, on one hand, okay, Solomon can have good observation. But then on the other hand, he goes back to this big problem of death. One event happens to all. Right? And this is a repeated problem. Okay? So on the hand, he can have good thoughts. He has good thoughts. And then on the other hand, he has bad thoughts or not so good thoughts. Okay? And there is this repeated dismal observation. You know? So for those who haven't studied Ecclesiastes, this idea of death keeps coming up again and again and again. It's a repeated dismal observation. And every time the idea of death comes up, he's very dismal about it. Okay? So we can enter the year with a good thought, but we can also end up with repeated bad thoughts. So there is this thing called a tension. Tension that's within our thoughts, within our mind, within our heart. Right? All things come alike to all. So this is a general observation. All things, right? Childhood, youth, adulthood, right? Old age. So most of you are going, adulting, right? There's this term. What does it mean, adulting? Young people trying to be adult? Is that the idea, adulting? So are you adulting or are you already adult? What are you all doing? No, where's the cutoff point? When does adulting stops? Don't know. It's so funny. You're already adults, still adulting. Why do you need to be adulting when you're already adults? It's such a funny term, right? Adulting. Oh, man. You're already adult, so what are you trying to be? Isn't it? It's such a funny term. Anyway, right? So we all go. And then there are also the unpredictable things in life. Okay, so on the other hand, all things come alike. In other words, there are things that happen to everyone, the seasons of life. But there are also unpredictable things that do happen to all of us. And they come. So, you know, the first 2-3 days of the year, the newspaper will predict, okay, what this year? Everybody is trying to be a forecaster, a prophet about the future. What's going to happen? You know, the economy, and so on and so forth. Trump, of course, Trump will always be there. The tariffs, and so on and so forth. Everybody is trying to predict what the year is going to be like. Right? And some will be negative. Some will be positive. Right? And sometimes when we enter the year, we have some good thoughts. But then sometimes we also have repeated dismal thoughts. And they come again and again and again. And for Solomon, he kept repeating again and again. And this was a very dismal thing. Death was just from the very beginning, chapter 1, chapter 2, he was dealing with this idea of death. And even now, chapter 9, he's still dealing with it. And then next week, we will still deal with it. It's just something that keeps bugging him. It is just a very dismal thing that he grapples with again and again and again and again. See, sometimes we have to be very careful how we think. Because if we allow certain bad thoughts to come and take hold, it will keep coming back to you again and again and again. On one hand, there's a good thought, but then on the other hand, you have all these very dismal negative things. And look at it, it doesn't matter. So it affects him to such an extent that, you know what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. It doesn't matter, to the good, to the clean, death happens to everyone. Right? It is almost, so what's the point? What's the point being good? What's the point taking an oath? Right? So this is a very one event happens to all. To him who sacrifices, to him who doesn't. Okay? And wow. So you can end up with a lot of dismal thoughts. Right? Okay, so in 2 weeks' time, or rather the following week, on the 13th of Jan, I'm actually going for an operation. Okay? It's called ptosis. So what I have is my right eye is drooping. Okay? It's drooping to such an extent it's affecting my vision. Okay? So I have to go for an operation to open up my eyes. Okay? How did it all happen? Well, one day I was walking along the street and I was going to the bus stop and there was this girl on the floor trying to look for something. So I asked, what are you looking for? Everybody was standing at the bus stop. So, okay, I'll try to be a good Samaritan and try to help her. And she said, oh, I dropped my fake eyelashes. Fake eyelashes. They say, oh, very hard to find. Okay, still, I'll try, okay? So I tried looking for the eyelashes. You know, and so hard to find because it's so small. I say, how much was the eyelashes? I thought of giving, okay, I might as well buy for you. I mean, poor thing. See, $50 one eyelashes. $50. Okay, I kept looking for the eyelashes. Oh, I kept looking. Oh, man, cannot see. And she was taking a fan trying to, you know, blow the eyelash. And is it so expensive, fake eyelashes? Do you all use? No. Anyway, after that incident, anyway, we didn't find. And then I had to go up the bus. And I said, okay, better go and get proper specs. Bifocal specs so that I can see. And I went to the ophthalmologist. And the first thing the ophthalmologist looked at me and he said, something wrong with your right eye. You better go and see a eye specialist. So I went to see Dr. Kim Teck. And he looked. He said, actually, it's not your eye, it's your eyelid that's blocking, that's affecting. So I saw this eye surgeon, and he specializes in correcting eyelid problems and ocular and whatever else. And so, on the 13th, I'm going for the eye operation. Eyelid operation. One of my fear is that the eye will now become very big. All my fear is that all of them. So I can see, wow, everybody. I haven't had nightmares about it, but wow, that's one of my concerns. What if something goes wrong and then, wow, I cannot close my eyes then. I tell you, it's very funny. Have you all been on operation before? None of you. Well, I tell you, it's not a nice thing to go through, man. I've been one already. I'm not looking forward to another operation. So I have to go for that. And then my eyes will be swollen up for 2 weeks. Okay? Eyes will be, wow, like, kind of bruised. 2 weeks. Wow. And then the doctor say, you cannot wash your hair for 2 weeks. Because your eyes cannot be touched by water. So the day before, I'm going to cut Bota and... And you know, so, okay, how am I going to face this? Right? Am I going to have negative thoughts about it? You know, all the things that can go wrong? Or I'm just going to trust the hand of God? To close my eyes when it's so... You know, am I going to really just trust the Lord? You see, so it's very easy to end up with all kinds of wrong thoughts. Right? And so for him, for Solomon, he kept thinking about this again and again and again and again. Right? Okay, then he goes on to verse 3. There is an evil in all that is done under the sun. That one thing happens to all. You see? One thing. You know, he just focuses on that one thing that happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. Right? A man's heart is full of evil. Madness is in their heart while they live. Right? So when you look, hey, hi. You know, when you look at this Bondi Beach shooting, and the reason why these two, this father and son, can you imagine father and son? And of course, they did it in the name of ISIS and they targeted the Jewish community. And he shot them. I think he killed, 12, 15 people along the way? And why would people do that? You know, to me, this is like madness. Truly, genocide is madness. The things that people do today, it's not just full of evil, it's truly madness. The things that people are capable of doing. Right? Madness is in their hearts while they live. They can do evil to the extent of madness. Wow. Right? But death will still come to them. After that, they go to the dead. So one day, they still have to answer before God, all the evil and the madness that they have done in this world. Okay, let's stop for a while. Do you have any questions that you want to ask concerning this? So, okay, my question is, one, what are you thinking as we begin the year? Are you focusing on the right thoughts? Are you focusing on the hand of God? Or are you filled with all kinds of negative thoughts? So on one hand, we can have good thoughts, but on the other hand, we can have negative thoughts. And sometimes we allow these negative thoughts to plague us to such an extent we become very dismal. Right? And so the challenge is, what are you thinking? What's on your mind as you begin the year? And my challenge to you is, focus on the hand of God. Right? Don't focus on all these negative things. I'm going to focus on the hand of God. Right? Right? The surgeon's name is, his name is Morgan Young. Yeah. And like, good thought is, now I can be like a, you know, those Korean stars. They go for cosmetic surgery. And so now I hope my eyes will be nicer, you know. That's the good thought I'm going to dwell on. Rather than, the eye's going to be open and cannot close. Oh. Anyway, anything, as long as surgery is never a nice thing to go through, it's going to be painful. So, I'll be out for 2 weeks. And during that weekend, you're going to be with Pastor Mark. Okay? So that weekend I won't be around. I'll send you pictures of how I look. Please remember me in prayer. I'll quote you a verse from the Bible about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, or something like that. Okay. Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask about the hand of God? Can you all see? Now, my question is, And maybe you all want to go into, you know, we can have a bit of a discussion. How do you know it's the hand of God? How do you know there's something that that's the hand of God? Everybody can claim, oh, this is the hand of God, this is the hand of God. How would you know that something is the hand of God? Have you all thought about that? What is, how can you, so how would you know that this particular thing or event or is the hand of God? Sometimes people say, oh, I got this new job. You know, oh, I see it as the hand of God. Then after that, the person, oh, this is such a stressful, challenging job. Oh, I feel so down. Then my question is, you said it's the hand of God, then now, is the hand of God still there? Ah, right. And actually, that's what someone said to me. You know, I'm moving to this place. I see the hand of God. And after that, the person, wow, so stressful. Is that the hand of God? So how do you know? How do you know that something is the hand of God? You want to discuss? Maybe you're going to discuss. We will split the group. And then I'll take the guys. We can just talk along. I can take the girls too, if you want. Yeah. So actually, it doesn't have to be male and female, okay? This is not India, okay? So actually, you want to mix it up, we can mix it up too, if you want to. Really? Huh? Maybe I can take the older ones. Huh? Okay. For example, Tricia and who else? Who's older? Alina. Okay, I'll take the two of you and the two guys. You want to be the younger girls or you want to be the... You okay, yeah? You can be them. Are you okay with him joining us? Next time. Next time, no more. Okay, come. We'll go into our groups. Yeah. I'll take the older ladies. Come. Yeah, come, Tricia. Okay, yes. Maybe I'll take your group, then you split them up. Yeah, it'll be just nice. Ken? Yeah, y'all can split up. You take them? You take the older ones? Audrey, up to y'all. Ken? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, three. Okay, Ken? Okay, come. What do y'all think? How? Do you understand what I was talking about? Can see? Okay, then let me just get your reaction. How do y'all feel about what I've just said? Is it true? Is it something that y'all grapple with? Or yeah. Hold on, Yeah, raise all the questions you know. Sorry? Okay, wait, Yeah, the one event. Yes. Yes. So that one thing, this is an evil that is done under the sun. In other words, you see, again, he's very dismal about it, right? This is an evil under the sun. This is vanity. This is, and that one thing happens. Oh, and what is that one thing? Death. Right? So the whole thing is about, so this part, when he talks about one event happens to the righteous and the wicked, one event that happens to all, right? And then he goes on to say that after that, they go to the dead. Can you see? So that one event is death, right? So that one thing, truly the hearts of Son of Man, I mean, it does make sense, isn't it? That everybody will die. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad, whether everybody will die. Right? But he writes it in such a way that, you know, it's like, oh, we've got no choice. We all have to die. And it's such a dismal thing. It's such an evil thing. Right? Then he talks about the wicked. When the wicked will die, they will do all kinds of crazy things. They are full of evil. And then they die. It's like, it doesn't matter almost, right? Whether you do evil or you don't. Can you see? It's an evil thing. It's an evil thing that we all have to die. It's not that death is evil. It's just that we all have to die. Yeah. That okay, so in the earlier chapters, he's been struggling. He's been struggling with, man, I gained all these things. I gained all this wisdom. I have prospered. Now I'm going to die. Then who am I going to pass it over to? And then if I pass it to the next generation, and then they squander everything, what a waste. You see, so in his mind, he's thinking about all these different things. And he brings across a different aspect every time. But he's still obsessed with death. Right? I don't know whether you ever come across a person who's just obsessed with one thing. And sometimes people can be very obsessed with that. Right? And he keeps going on again and again and again. He keeps thinking about it until it is detrimental. Can you see? So that's the challenge. That's the challenge of it. Right? And the challenge is, how do we see these things? How do we look at life or what it is? And very often, how we think is very important. What goes through our mind? You see, he could have focused on the hand of God, but he didn't. The preponderance on all that he's written in this part here is all about the death part. He didn't write much about the hand of God. In other words, there's only one time he wrote about the hand of God. That's in chapter 2. Right? He wrote about it earlier in chapter 2 where he wrote verse 24, "Nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This I saw was from the hand of God." And then that's it. The rest of the 8 chapter, he doesn't write about the hand of God at all. Then he comes up with, okay, here is a good observation, but he doesn't develop it further. Can you see? And sometimes, we want to focus on the right things. We want to focus on the right. As we enter into the new year, what's your focus? What's my focus? My focus is my eye, my you know. Well, I really hope it doesn't become like goldfish eyes, man, after that. Okay, I have this thing called ptosis. My right eye is drooping, the eyelid. Yeah, so I have to go for an operation to correct it, to open up my eyes, so I can see more light. Literally. Hopefully, spiritually also. Right? You know about this ptosis thing? Eye thing, right? Yeah, so it's a common thing, lah. People do go for this kind of operation. It's just that, okay lah, since it's recommended to me. I mean, I can live with this, But I find that at night, especially, my peripheral vision is affected. I don't see things as well. And it was very interesting that he did an experiment where he opened up my eye, and all of a sudden, I can see some things clearly. So my peripheral vision is affected by this. Yeah, so it's half drooping. Right. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so my question is, how do you know that something is from the hand? Okay, sure. Okay. Sure. Yep. 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 Actually, we don't know. What he went through ultimately is, I mean, it's instigated by the Satan, right? So the root cause is actually Satan. But we, how it comes about, we really don't. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Well, yeah. I think it has to be with reference to the will of God, and mine, answer to prayer. And but there's another third thing. Something else that you should look for. There will be this thing called confirmatory signs. There will be things that will confirm to you. It's almost like, wow, this is definitely the hand of God. It's very observable. So it depends on what you are talking about. Yeah, it really depends on what you're talking about. What I'm talking about is like, okay, for example, being a pilot. What were the confirmatory signs when I began to excel as a pilot? I was very good. I was good at what I was doing. And you knew straight away that, so being a pilot actually is a gift. Not everyone can be a pilot. Being a pastor is also a gift. So there are confirmatory signs that will go with it. That you can excel in it, that you can do well in it. There will be the gifts that follow. You understand? Huh? Yeah. So the confirmatory signs will be there. It will show along the way. If it's nebulous, if it's like unsure, then it's something that you have to seek the Lord further about again and again. And you know, there will be things that will lead you and guide you. He will be there to show it to you. Like, okay, for example, for you to come over here to work. It's something that you gotta pray about. But of course now it's so okay, then we gotta be very practical about things too. Because practically, this is not a good time. Because it's a recession. But in the midst of that, if somehow you can still find something, yours is what? Acura. Okay, Acura. Yeah, and if you can find something that along the way that gives you that opportunity, then great. Then the Lord will lead you step by step. So we also have to be very practical about things too. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's good to verify things, right? It's good to verify things. And perhaps a spiritually mature person can help you with that. A person who's wise, a person who has seen and experienced things in the past, and maybe a pastor or teacher or someone who can see things better, who has a bigger picture, perhaps that will help. Yeah, to help you verify things. Sometimes trying to confirm things on your own can be not so wise, right? Because you can decide on anything, perhaps, this is the right way, this is the right way. But actually, there are ways to look at these things. And one of them is wisdom, experience, understanding about life, and that helps along the way. So sometimes you need to consult. You know? Sure, there are some things that are a bit hard to see, especially when it's, you know, when going is tough. But that's when you consult and when you talk, it really makes a difference. You see? Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, you see. So the thing is it from God if you prayed about it and then it's given to you? But it's very stressful. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you ask for it, then you get it, then why are you complaining now? Yeah, so, I mean, when I first became a pilot, it was very interesting. Wow! When I first became a full-fledged pilot, I was graduated, and then I became a pilot. I was in a squadron, new place. Wow, super high stress. I was very, very stressed. And then someone noticed that, that was stressed. And he said, then this person said to me, remember, Mitch, you prayed for it, God gave to you, now work it out. Yeah, it's the hand of God. The Lord answered your prayer, so stop complaining. Yeah, I mean, if you really pray for it, and you know, the Lord let you, gave you what you want, and you seem to be excelling in it, then of course, you know. So it's your way of looking at it at the end of the day. And very often, sometimes the hand of God leads us in things that perhaps we may not even expect it to be that way. Right? But it's still the best for you. So you're right in saying that sometimes it's on hindsight that we see these things. And perhaps the pastor or the teacher who can see things better can explain it to you when you are going through it. Because when you are going through it and then you are, you know, having a hard time, you can't see it. Right? And sometimes when the pastor helps you or someone you can consult with helps you to see things better, you can see the hand of God. And now, again, also, we don't want to say that everything is from the hand of God too. We don't want to trivialize the idea of the hand of God too. Right? Sometimes some of the things is our own choosing. We choose it to be that. So we don't want to, you know, everything is also the hand of God. You follow? Yeah. So we just got to balance it carefully. Yeah. Okay. you want to be a bit more specific about what you're talking about? Because this kind of thing, you got to be a bit specific. It's a bit hard to explain whether it is or not. I know you're trying to be general, but... So that's the thing also. If you need to be specific, you want a specific answer, then you have to you know, open up about the specific context about it. Yeah. I think you should just wait. My answer to you is wait for the answer. So that's the thing also. We don't want to second guess things also, right? Because it's late, others have received. The best thing to do is why don't we just wait for the actual answer. If it's no, then okay, then rethink it. Right? But if it's yes, then all your worrying also no use also now. You follow? I think it's best to just wait upon the Lord and trust the Lord. Right? And a late answer doesn't mean either or whatever. Right? I think it's best to just wait for the Lord to show to you. You've done your part. Why don't we just wait and see what's the final answer? And if it's no, then okay, let's then rethink it. But you rethink now, when later on is a yes, then so why don't we just wait first and wait for the answer? When is the answer supposed to come? Now? Huh? Yeah, now only January. Don't think. Okay, so that's the thing also. Don't overthink also. Right? Don't overthink it. If it's February, then let's wait for February. Right? I still have to go through the operation. Will my eyes be okay? I also do not know. I just gonna, it's the hands of Mr. Dr. Morgan Young. Right? I hope he makes me young. You know? I really don't know. We just gotta wait and see how it all goes. Right? Why don't we just wait now? See, the impatient part of us is, I want to know. Right? But maybe the Lord is also testing us to learn how to trust and to wait. Okay? Anything else? No, I'll get everybody. Okay, how? Anything that you want to raise up? How? Well, what do you all discuss? Yes, still.
We talked about how we see the hand of God in our lives, and also to answer your question, how to know something is the hand of God. I think we try to view it from like the human perspective. Like as of now, how do we view the hand of God? One is that we think that it's easier to view things in hindsight, to say that, okay, as we go through that thing itself, it might be difficult to see that this is the hand of God, especially if it's something difficult, like a difficult time. It's always only maybe at the end that we see, look back and see that, oh, that was the hand of God and this is the outcome of it. I think we also talked about how it's better to take a humble position, not to look at other people's lives and say whether or not that is the God leading them or God not leading them. Likewise in our own lives, to say whether or not this is generically we want to follow God's will, but not to say, okay, because God intended this evil thing to make it good As in, God intended this evil thing happened, like I'm going to sin, for example, extreme example, I'm going to sin, but because I meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, so it's okay. But not to not take that stance, you know, because it won't look like that in real life. I mean, in the reality of life, it's not so clear to see, at that point in time, but we just wanted to take a more humble view of things and not dictate whether or not, oh, this is part of God's end will or end outcome for us.
Okay, let me try to explain one thing. There are many, many examples in the Bible about life, about work, about how things can work out. If we follow those examples and if we follow the will of God according to what he has stipulated, we can see the hand of God leading us. So firstly, it has to be based on the word of God. It has to be based on God's will. It has to be based on examples in the Bible, like Joseph. Right? He can go through a really tough time, right? Being sold by his brothers. And yet, the hand of the Lord is there with him in prison, in Potiphar's house. It's very obvious. God was blessing him in everything that he did. The hand of the Lord is there. Even though, technically, he's going through a really, really tough time. Right? He became a slave. He became a prisoner. I mean, what worse situation can a person be? And yet, the hand of the Lord was there with him every step of the way. That's how you know. God prospering the work of your hands. Doesn't matter where you are. Right? Two, there will be confirming signs. You will see the Lord blessing you. You are prospering. You do well in what you're doing. Like, for example, being a pilot. I was excelling as a pilot. Right? I could see the hand of the Lord there. I mean, I'm not let me be very honest. I'm not a good student. I'm not someone who can study things, read one time, and then remember everything. Right? Like some of you. Are you like it? No. Yeah, so, but when I became a pilot, I excel in it. It's just so natural for me to excel as a pilot. And even as a pastor, truly is. Right? And you can see the hand of the Lord involved in your life, confirming things for you, leading you, and blessing the work of your hands. Can you see? Okay, and to me that's very important. Okay, does it answer your question? Let me show you an example. Okay, just give me 5 more minutes. Let's turn to Ezra. Let me show you just an example in Ezra's life. You all know where Ezra is? It's before Nehemiah. Okay, Ezra 7. In Ezra 7, we see Ezra came from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe. Verse 6. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Right? So the hand of the Lord was there. Chapter 7 and verse 9. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Right? The Lord was there. The hand of the Lord was there to lead him. He came to Jerusalem. The journey, the Lord was there to, you know, the hand of the Lord was involved in the journey. Okay? 7 verse 28. Blessed be the God of who put such a thing upon this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord. So the king wrote a letter rebuilding of the temple, and I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. right? 8 verse 18. In 8 and in verse 18, we read, "Then by the good hand of the Lord upon us, they brought us a man of understanding." See, even sending someone to lead them and guide them, that's the hand of the Lord too. Right? A man of understanding came to them. 8 verse 22. Right? "For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen, because we have spoken to the king, saying, the hand of the Lord is upon us, for good who seek him, and his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake. So we fasted, and he answered our prayers." 8 verse 31. "Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month, go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy, from ambush along the road." Wow. Ambush. That means they couldn't see. And yet, the hand of the Lord is there. Huh. Can you see? The hand of the Lord involved in Israel's life. Again and again and again. Can the hand of the Lord be involved in your life? My answer is yes. If you involve Him, if you are righteous, you walk righteously. So we have to do our part. We have to walk righteously. We have to be wise in our choices, in the way we do things. And then, we work hard. We will see the hand of the Lord involved in everything. Okay? And you can see. You will see God's hand involved. For me, I was on this thing called a high potential pilot scheme. I mean, how did I get it in the end? Where they will try to accelerate you as a pilot. And I was put on this. Why? I worked hard. I did my part. God gave the blessing. And I could see the hand of the Lord. You know, wow, there was a very stressful period where I had to go to Brunei. And I had to do three things. I was on this course called night vision goggles course, where you fly with night vision. Wow, it's super stressful. You know, you come down from the flight, it's like 1 hour is equivalent to 2 times the flying hours. So you fly 1 hour, it's actually two hours. You fly 2 hours, it's actually 4 hours. When you come down, your head is like this heat coming out of your head. Very stressed. And you cannot sleep. I have to wait until about 1, 2 a.m. to go and sleep. Because it's very high stress environment. And then I'm also on this upgrade from, you know, they have this upgrade from Cat C to Cat B. And wow, that was another course. So 2 courses at the same time. Then I had to rewrite these standing orders, you know, operating orders. SOP, they call it SOP. I have to go and rewrite the base standing order. 3 things at the same time. Wow. And yet, the Lord was there. I passed everything. Thank God. Didn't crash there. The final test, I still remember, wow, going to the Brunei jungle with another aircraft. So 2 of us. Flying into the Brunei jungle. It was super dark. And it was very, very stressful. And then the rain came. Once the lightning come, you cannot fly already. And then my main instructor look at it and say, okay, I think we cannot fly already. Let's go back. And then that was it. Wow, I was very happy. The hand of the Lord was there. He sent the lightning. Boom. Yeah. And he said, you passed. Oh, I'm very happy. I thought I was going to retake again. He said, no, you've been flying very well. Okay, never mind. Pass. The hand of the Lord. Okay? So let's begin the year with, let's focus on the right thing. Let's not focus on the wrong thing. Okay? Let's involve the hand of the Lord in our life. So much more. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray. Thank you that you are God who does not leave us alone, who cares for us, who loves us, who wants to be involved in our life. And we want to pray and thank you for your hand in our lives in the past. Now, Lord, we pray that as we look forward to the new year, help us to trust in your hand, to lead us, to guide us, to bless us. And help us to focus on this, not on negative things. Help us to focus on you and your hand in our life. We pray, dear Father, that we can develop a greater trust in you. And we pray that you bless the year for all of us ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.